Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Why is gold pushing to all-time highs? Simply because the cost of living is up almost 18% since 2021. The $34 trillion national debt has investors worried when this house of cards will come crashing down. This is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Text COAST to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold and to see how Birch Gold can help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. Text COAST to 989898 now.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our special guest tonight, Teresa Reed, also known as the Tarot Lady, has been a full-time tarot card reader for close to 30 years. In addition to doing private tarot readings, teaching tarot classes, and speaking at tarot conferences when they had them, Teresa also runs a very popular website called thetarotlady.com, where she gives out advice, inspiration, and tips for tarot lovers of all experienced levels. Teresa, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I am fascinated by tarot cards. You must have been too. How'd you get into this?
Well, I actually got into tarot quite by accident. I was a typical teenager trying to figure out who I was back in the 70s and 80s,
yeah.
And a girlfriend's mother actually did astrology, and she read my astrology chart, so suddenly I got into it because it made so much sense to me at the time. And on one of these very rare outings to the mall, I was in the bookstore, and I was looking for an astrology book, and I saw a tarot deck, and I had seen them in the movies, like most people, and I thought, on a whim, I'm going to take this home with me, and I fell in love with them, and I've had a tarot deck in my hands ever since then, and that was 40 years ago.
And it hasn't stopped since, has it?
No. In fact, I have too many tarot decks now.
And the decks have how many cards in them, generally?
Generally, a traditional deck has 78 cards in them. And there are newer decks where people might add extra cards, but a traditional deck is always 78 cards.
And your new book just came out, right?
It just came out about 24 hours ago.
That's great timing. See, the tarot card said you were going to be on my show.
Yes. They predicted it.
Was it difficult for you to read tarot cards? Did somebody have to teach you?
Well, back in the day, remember, this is way before the internet, and I grew up in a rural area, so there was nothing. I didn't have a teacher. I didn't have access to, like, a lot of books. There was really no way to study, so I was pretty much on my own, and so learning in the beginning was challenging because of the lack of access. And also, the first tarot deck I picked up, which was the only deck in the store, was the Marseilles deck, which is actually an incredibly difficult deck to start with. So you have to really want to learn if you are picking it up under those circumstances. The second deck I got was the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, which is the deck I still use to this day. But that one spoke to me a lot more clearly, like it does for most people, because the pips are illustrated. So it is an easier deck to read with, but I started out the hardest way possible.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. And
yeah, in a rural area. It's no longer very rural, though. We have suburbs out there, so it's grown up quite a bit from the time I was there as a child.
How much of the tarot cards are your interpretation of what you pull?
Well, here's how I like to explain it. When you're learning tarot, there are traditional meanings that anybody who wants to learn it should know those traditional meanings because they form the foundation, and they also, they're like a springboard for your intuition. So they, like a house, it's a really good solid foundation. But your intuition is what really creates like the decoration. It is what makes the flow happen. So you kind of have to have, I would say, 50-50. You have to have the knowledge. You have to understand what those cards mean. And you also have to have the ability to kind of intuit, well, how are these cards going together? What does it mean for this particular person? For example, if you and I both had tarot readings, and we both had the exact same cards in the exact same positions, it's still going to mean something very different for you than it does for me because we're not the same person, and the reader has to be able to kind of determine what this might mean for you versus me.
Could one be good, one be bad, same card?
Yes. I like to say the cards are actually kind of neutral. You know, sometimes people look at the cards and they're like, oh, my goodness, I got the Sun, which, by the way, is my favorite card because it's very positive and optimistic, but there's always a shadow side to every card. So the shadow side of the Sun could be overly optimistic. It could be having a Pollyanna attitude, whereas some card like the Tower, which nobody ever likes to see, you know, it shows destruction. But the positive side of the Tower can indicate tearing something down that you've outgrown so you can build something new. So you have to really be able to look and see, what does this card, again, mean to this particular situation and this particular person? And sometimes the scary cards aren't really scary. They're actually a good thing to see. They're a welcome ally in your life.
I was going to say, like, the Death card is kind of freaky, isn't it?
The Death card gets a very bad reputation, and I blame it all on popular media. You know, every movie they'll have, like, the reader pulls out the Death card, and they speak very ominously, like, oh, my God, you know, you're going to die, Mr. Bond. And that's not what the Death card is about. The Death card actually symbolizes a time where things in your life are transforming. Some things are going by the wayside. There's something new on the horizon. It's a card that signifies a massive and very important change in your life.
Now, the Death card, trying to refresh my memory, Teresa, what does it look like?
In the traditional Rider-Waite-Smith deck, it has a figure, a skeleton figure, actually, on a horse. And it kind of looks like the Skeletor figure from, what is that show? I think it was He-Man, whatever. And he's got a big flag, and he's riding a white horse, and there's the Sun rising in the background.
And he's in armor, too, right?
He's in armor, yeah. He's wearing black armor. And there's figures around him. There is a king that looks like he's dead. There is a pope that is begging. There's a woman who's, it looks like she's fainting, and there's a little child offering flowers to the figure on the horse.
See, now, who wouldn't find that freaky?
Well, a tarot reader doesn't. You know, we look at that very differently. We see it as something is coming to an end, out with the old, in with the new. But yet, to somebody who's new to tarot, it could be a very fearsome image. Just like, again, like the Tower card, it's a very scary-looking image. But once you know the meanings, and again, you have to look at what the story is that the card is trying to tell, you might be looking at that completely differently.
When you're doing readings for people face-to-face, who picks the cards, you or the individual?
First of all, I do not do card reading face-to-face any longer. This climate, nobody does that because it's too dangerous.
Because of COVID?
Because of COVID. But I stopped actually doing face-to-face readings a couple of years ago.
Do you do Zoom and things like that?
I don't like Zoom. I do it strictly over the phone, kind of like the way you and I are talking. And there's a reason why I do that. It's because I don't have any distractions. I find Zoom and actually in-person readings to be quite distracting. When I used to do readings in person, I would allow the other person to shuffle the cards, but once they shuffle and cut it, the deck is in my hands. I'm the one laying out the cards and looking at them.
Interesting. Will you ever go back to in-person readings, ever?
Oh, God, no.
Never. That's it,
oh,
huh?
No. It's just, you know, not just because of the COVID, it's just not safe. And so I prefer, I feel safer doing it over the phone. And also, again, it's less distracting.
Sure.
There's not people running late to their appointment. Actually, doing it in person is kind of a hassle.
But you're not saying as a tarot reader, COVID's going to be with us until the end of time.
No.
Good.
We'll be back to doing these readings again in person. In fact, there's a lot of readers who are still doing readings in person, but they have, like, some of them have plexiglass between them and the client.
Yeah.
And they have a face shield. And I'm sorry, but the idea of doing a reading like that and sitting 6 feet apart from somebody doesn't make sense.
It's different. It sure is. Do you know Art Rosengarten?
He is a colleague of mine. I do not know him very much.
Great
very
guy.
Well, but I know
great
of him, of course.
Good guy. He's been a friend of ours for 20 some years, and he understands tarot. He's
yes,
pretty marvelous.
He's quite knowledgeable.
Yeah, it is. If you had a room of 10 tarot card readers, Teresa, in a room, would they all come up with 10 different readings if they pulled cards?
They might, yeah. Because here's why. People are going to always have their own way of delivering information. You know, they may still come to the same conclusion or similar conclusions, or they might see something that the other reader's not seeing. So there's definitely going to be some variation. You know, and I always say, I always encourage readers when they're learning that you got to develop your own tarot voice. I mean, if I'm doing a reading and trying to sound exactly like Art Rosengarten, for example, that's not going to be really intuitive. It's not going to be me. It's not like it's being channeled through me. Then it's me being like a tarot automaton, and I don't think that's a good idea for anybody. With students, I always say, okay, listen, here's some meanings, but please look at these cards. Tell me what you're seeing. Look at the story that's unfolding, and tell it in your own voice.
Are the readings also about events as opposed to an individual?
You mean like world events?
Yes.
Oh, yes. And you want to hear something really interesting?
I'd love to.
Every time there's an election, it doesn't matter what side wins or loses. There are always the other side, the losing side, wants a reading on. They're assuming that their life is destroyed now, and they want to know if they're going to go on. Every single time, I always get these readings after an election where, I mean, you wouldn't believe it. It's really kind of funny, actually. It's like, no, your life is going to go on. You're going to be fine. You're going to have to maybe adjust a little bit, but you'll be fine.
Will tarot predict things?
Tarot can predict things, but prediction isn't a perfect science. I like to say that the cards, you know, always tell the truth, but sometimes readers can be inaccurate in their delivery. Like, you might misinterpret something. But yes, they can predict. And I mean, I've had many, many instances in my own life where I've, you know, done readings for myself where they predicted things, and it's been very helpful.
Teresa, would you say that you're psychic?
People are funny about the word psychic. Let's just talk about that. As soon as you say psychic, people have a misperception of it.
Sometimes,
they assume,
yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, they assume...
Not on this show, believe me. But
your show's like open to it. But a lot of people, when you say psychic, they're like, oh, well, tell me, you know, what's my middle name and what color underwear am I wearing? It's like, that's not how this works. You know, whether you call it psychic or intuition or whatever you want to call it, it's the ability to channel information without facts. It's that feeling. So I would probably say, yeah, I'm psychic or intuitive or whatever you want to call it. But there's absolutely misconceptions about what that means.
Intuitive sounds more scientific, doesn't it?
It sounds more scientific, but I think it also is more palatable for people. Because, again, when they hear psychic, they have a misconception of it. And I think most people can find the word intuitive to be a little bit more acceptable.
Have you ever used intuition for yourself?
Oh, my God, yes.
All the time, I bet.
Well, one of my favorite stories about intuition, I pay attention to my gut. You know, there's a book called The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker, I think his name is, which is all about how your intuition is always trying to save your life. And in the book, they always talk about how a lot of people ignore it because they want to be nice. Well, many, many years ago when I was living in New York, there was somebody who was flirting with me. And, you know, he was a really friendly guy, et cetera, et cetera. And for some reason, I got a bad feeling about it. I wrote about this in my book. I got a bad feeling about it. I'm like, you know, this guy's really funny and all that, but something isn't right here.
Did you know him?
Well, yeah, we were people who would run into each other all the time.
Ah, okay.
And so it was always very friendly. He was always really sweet. And, you know, not a bad-looking chap either, but something was off. So I'm like, no, we're always going to just be friends. We're going to be friends. And he ended up doing a very, very gruesome murder.
No way.
Not. It was actually a very famous murder. And I can remember...
Could you have been one of the victims had you dated him?
Who knows?
Oh, my God.
It was just a really freaky thing. But, you know, if you don't listen to your intuition, you can get into all kinds of situations.
That's true.
That are not good for you. And oftentimes, too, when you pay attention to your intuition, it can tell you when something is good for you, when you should follow that hunch. And so I'm a huge believer. When I get a sign or an omen, or even sometimes I get dreams that are really pretty crazy, but I pay attention to it. I don't ignore it. I'm like, okay, let's pay attention. Let's go with this. There's a reason why I'm feeling this.
How often, Teresa, do you pull out the tarot cards for yourself?
You know, I don't pull them out very often for myself. I would say maybe. I always do a yearly birthday reading for myself. I think that's the best time to do a reading, by the way, to just kind of get a feel for what the year is about. But sometimes if I'm having trouble sorting out a situation, like let's say my emotions are getting in the way, I'll toss some cards for myself to see, okay, let's look at what's going on here. Let's see if I can reflect and find the truth of the situation. So, you know, I actually did a reading for myself today. So every once in a while I'll do that, but I'm not like going to those tarot cards for myself every day like, oh my God, I've got to, you know, get a hit of a tarot reading. I don't think that's healthy.
What do you think people come to you for generally? What do they want?
Generally, people want to know what's ahead. They want to know...
And what kind of things, though? Like relationships, jobs?
Well, love is always the most important topic.
Is it?
Oh, yes. But I actually work with a lot of entrepreneurs who want to talk about business and money, and I love those topics.
That's smart. What about operations, medical operations and things like that?
People... will sometimes come to a tarot reader or an astrologer wanting to know about, health. And as a tarot reader, you've got to be very mindful that you're not a doctor. And, you know, you can't be giving diagnosis or
no,
prescribe
that's right.
people treatment. I mean, you can't
and,
do that.
And you can't say this cures.
Right.
They don't like that.
No. What I can do is I can look at the energy around a situation. Or if people are going into a surgery, maybe I might look at the astrology around the date to see what they need to know around that. But you can't, like, you've got to be very careful because you can get in a lot of trouble or you can send people down the wrong rabbit hole. I had a lady once years ago. She was always, like, kind of a strange woman. And she asked really strange questions. And she seemed like she was a little bit disturbed. So I was always trying to, like, tell her, you know, you got to get grounded. You got to take care of yourself, whatever. Well, one day she came for a reading. This was many years ago. And she said, I stopped seeing my psychiatrist, and I stopped taking all my meds because this tarot reading is helping me better than any. I said, oh, no.
Don't stop. Don't.
And so I ended up, I had to fire her as a client. I said, you need to go back to your therapist. You need to go back on your meds. This is not a substitute for it. And that's the thing when you're a tarot reader or astrologer, or, you know, anyone who's doing this type of work, you have to be very conscious that you are affecting people's lives.
Well, and you know, it's not bad to go off your meds, but one, you need to do it with your doctor's support, and two, you got to do it like weaning. You just don't stop.
Yes, it's dangerous. And the other thing is, you know, she was. It's not because of something I told her. She just assumed that, oh, this is more like therapy for me. And it's like, no, this is not therapy. You need a therapist, a licensed therapist for what you need. And, you know, another reader might have, you know, maybe not thought that was a big deal, but I'm all about responsibility, and you've got to be very, very mindful about when you're dealing with the public that people might take things the wrong way or get mad or make decisions that are not good like that.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health 8 kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health 8 Kombucha today.